Okay, so hello and welcome to this recorded conversation and podcast with me, Isak Stoddard.
And Sashiko Shihara.
And we are going to talk a little bit about a trip that we've just done to England to visit Schumacher College in Devon to kickstart a new research collaboration funded by the Erasmus Plus program. And the name of it is Applied Ecopreneurship Methodologies. And Sashiko and I are actually on a train here on our way back to Sweden. And we left Hamburg this morning and we're heading for Denmark, hopefully making Copenhagen for a late lunch before continuing on into Sweden. So we're sitting here watching the... watching some birds. Wow, that's really beautiful. Watching some birds just take off here in northern Germany. And there's a little bit of snow on the ground. And we've constructed this makeshift recording device, which consists of my earplugs with a microphone hanging by some floss from the roof of the train. So yeah, very, very interesting experiment. And what we're going to talk about is, hopefully, is our experience basically from the last few days in England, and also this new Erasmus Plus project. Just to contextualize our conversation a bit, is a collaboration between, five different institutions of education, or I guess you could say learning, in the Nordic countries as well as England. So the project consists of SETSEMUS, the Center for Environment and Development Studies, at Uppsala University, and the Swedish Agricultural Science University. It is Schumacher College in Devon, which is a small college in the countryside, which we'll talk more about in a few minutes. And Nord University in the north of Norway, based in Bodø, and their Department of Ecological Economics, and the Danish Friends of the Earth organization, as well as the host organization of the whole project, which is Sogn og Jord Hagebruksskole, which is a Norwegian adult education institution in the valley of Aurland in western Norway. So they're the hosts. So this project will go on for 2 years and we will visit most of these institutions. And there's a few people from each institution that's a part of the project. So that's sort of to provide some context to the conversation that we're about to have here on the train. Maybe I'll start with a question.
Yeah, sure.
That we could explore, and that I guess is just a very open-ended question about how, what sort of, what are your impressions of this last week at Schumacher?
Yeah, actually, I think it was. I didn't really know what to expect, so I got into this as more of an opportunity to join this meeting in Schumacher as a representative of SETSEMUS. And when I heard this title, Applied Ecopreneurship, it was a bit, I wasn't so keen on on the idea somehow, but I was attracted by the fact that we were going to go to Schumacher College, which I wanted to go to from a very long time ago. So it was mixed expectations in the beginning, but now I'm very happy that I went. I think we really started out by saying we don't know what will happen during this week, and that was a little bit like this getting into the unknown, exploring, which was done in a way that felt good, which is pretty impressive, I think. Matching with this rhythm of Schumacher, like being quite slow, having a lot of space to breathe. getting to know people in the project, but also people at the Schumacher community where people are living together. So it was very nice and relaxing, and we had really good conversations about how we could basically support people finishing their studies, going into the real world, how they can actually make a difference. So that's my interpretation of what we're talking about in terms of ecological entrepreneurship, like try to make a living out of trying to change the world. And how could that work practically, but also keeping this reflective element of, okay, actually being transformative rather than just reproducing a status quo, which is very challenging to balance, and how we could actually create support structures so that we don't throw the students out into the world without any support. So how can we actually keep that support structure, which is something I'm also interested in thinking about CMS. How do we actually create an alumni support system or an alumni network that's interesting and not just it's a bit unclear how that would look like, but thinking about these things right now. How about you?
Well, I guess just to follow up on that, yeah. I guess one thing that I think was a discussion actually in a conversation that we had there was, you know, what is the responsibility of an educational institution to provide that support structure after the studies? Or is that something that the process of going through that educational institution should embed within the individuals themselves and those networks that they create? So I think that was one, to me, it's not completely obvious how to sort of take that conversation further when it comes to our center. But I think it's obviously something, it's an interesting question, where that responsibility lies, especially if students are going on during their studies or after the studies trying to really challenge societal structures and norms in ways that are, you know, put them in a situation that might be compromising in different ways or challenging at least.
Yeah, definitely. It's a bit hard to know, and maybe also important to say that we're all our institutions have certainly different contexts, I would think. In a sense, Schumacher and CMS, in a sense, is similar because we also deal with a lot of international students, which is interesting because maybe they leave and they go back home, which is a little bit different from thinking about a structure of, you know, people that are still in Uppsala, Stockholm, like meetup events or just casual things. Whereas if you're thinking about a global network, maybe that's much more about an online process, and then it's very different, like just to create that, you know, web platform or whatever, maybe that's our responsibility, or maybe it's not even a responsibility of ours. Maybe it's the students that come up with this. Or it's a bit hard to think about that as well. Yeah,
meine Damen und Herren, wir reichen jetzt Oldenburg-Holstein. Wir sagen jetzt von den Fahrgästen hier aussteigen, danken für die Reise bei der Deutschen und Dänischen Bahn. Wir wünschen Ihnen noch einen schönen Tag, sagen Tschüss und auf Wiedersehen. Der Aufstieg in Fahrrichtung links. Wir haben kommen zu Oldenburg, wir sind approaching Oldenburg.
So, yeah, we're definitely on a train, there's no doubt about it.
I want to hear more about your general reflections about the week.
About the week, okay. Well, it's always nice to visit Schumacher College, and I always feel more relaxed when I leave than when I go, but also sort of infused with energy and new ideas. I think it's quite a unique place as well, so maybe we should say just a little bit about the college and why I can reflect upon being there again. I guess I've been there for, well, 3 or 4 times before, and it's a mostly residential college in the English countryside, and it's embedded within a larger estate called the Dartington Hall Estate, which is, you know, really been a center for learning and art and thinking and agricultural innovation as well over the last hundreds of years, and so it's a very picturesque place to go to, I think, with these rolling hills and, you know, beautiful trees And yeah, very, very much like when I think about the English countryside, I think about Darlington and the area around Totnes and Devon and, there, and that area. It was interesting to me to come back as well, because it seems like the college is going through quite a lot of changes and challenges as well, and also, you know, trying to figure out its relationship to the larger environment in which it is situated, embedded. And I think that's one of the things that for me kind of stood out this week as well, is that, you know, that I also have this impression of applied ecopreneurship methodologies being this kind of trendy way of saying, you know, let's talk about how we educate. Whereas I think I'm leaving this week with a larger perspective of what the project could turn into and what we might explore over the next few years. And it's really, for me at least, how educational institutions are embedded in a larger web of relationships and also embedded in places, and how that embeddedness and that, how that those relationships also shape and form and inspire the types of activities that we end up spending our time on doing. And that plays out in all sorts of different ways, for everything from how we spend our time in our offices or at work, to how what sort of thoughts we end up, you know, spending our time thinking about. So, and yeah.
Yeah, I like that. Maybe I can just add on that. One thing that, so at Schumacher College, a typical day, maybe, at least for us, how it looked like. So there, you start out the day with an optional meditation, and then there's a drop-in breakfast. And then at 8:30, you start out the day with a morning meeting. And this I thought was really unique, in a sense that it's a place to gather. You start out that meeting with someone doing a reading, and this could be, you know, the people maybe sign up to it beforehand, or sometimes it was just like, okay, so does someone have a reading to share today? And then it was really nice, the final day, a girl that was working there was like, it seemed like no one had something, and then she was like last minute, oh, I actually have something, and she just like read out, or like kind of spoke out,
recited
a poem just from her head. And I was just thinking, I should have a poem always in my back of my head, you know, just to be able to do that on the spot. That was really fascinating.
It was a Wendell Berry poem, I think, about wildness and about the grief and how to sort of deal with that, with the existential challenges of our times. It's really nice.
Yeah, it was just so nice. Yeah, and then so after a reading, you would have just some time for people to share what they're doing during the day. So the master's course is what they're doing during the day, and then us in the Erasmus project, what we were doing, just to get an overview of what different people are doing at Schumacher, which at CMS for us, it's a bit hard to get an overview sometimes because there's so much going on. But when you're in the same space, it was just nice to share, okay, there's just different things happening, and hear about what people are doing. And then after that, you would finish the meeting with some kind of embodied activity. So the first day was like a song with some movements brought from what is that Echo Village? Finhorn. And the UK. So we kind of sang and did this kind of hand movements together. So singing and some little bit of moving the body. So I think at Schumacher there's this idea of using not only the head, but also your hand and your heart. So after the morning meeting, you would have rotating groups doing, helping out with the cooking for the lunch, cleaning of the space, doing the gardening. And this kind of stuff actually was really important in the day, because it was a timing where, for me, like, I don't usually like cleaning, but actually it was so meditating, and it was really like showing gratitude towards the place and taking care of the place as your home, which is really really, really nice, I think. I was also saying that it reminded me of school in Japan, where kids actually do clean their classrooms every day, which I think is actually really important. Not kind of externalizing that to cleaning ladies, kind of how that was kind of nice, that it felt really homey and welcoming. And I was thinking about how we can bring that using hand and hearts more into basic courses at university, when we do try to think about how we can do things differently, but we're still very much thinking a lot and sometimes feeling and sharing our emotions, but maybe not so much using our hands with, for example, soil or these kind of going out, exploring the area, kind of orienting yourself. That was really valuable for me.
Yeah, it's always hard to talk about a place like Schumacher and sort of try to explain it without making it sound like it's just this kind of
hippie
place that I wouldn't want to spend a lot of time in. like, you see what I mean? But it's at the same time, it's when you're there, I think they managed to strike a very fine, nice balance between these different aspects of learning, which combine the heart and the hands and the head. And I think also sometimes understanding that, you know, thinking and our intellectual work might sometimes, you know, stem from an activity, so practice precludes, or not precludes, but practice can sometimes lead to theory rather than theory always, you know, leading into practice. So I think this idea of sort of that learning by doing, of course, which is an old catchphrase, is actually sort of embedded in the environment there. Another thing which is interesting about Schumacher College is this flow through of people, that it's not like, it's not a static community, it's not a static place, it's rather that people come and go all the time, and that's, in some ways there's a parallel to Seamus there as well, that people come and go, but here it is maybe even on a weekly basis, you know, there's more people coming for short courses, people staying there for their whole master's programs and so forth, and that somehow helps to create a dynamic quality to the place, where it doesn't become static and it doesn't become sort of dogmatic you need to do this. So it's a very sort of, it's a sensitive space in that sense, that it's sensitive to people's, what they're comfortable in doing and what they're not comfortable in doing. And I sort of appreciate that a lot, especially when you're trying to bring those elements into an organization, like those things that you're explaining. Another thing that I was really thinking about a lot this week, which I mentioned at some points during the meeting also, is this idea when we're thinking about education and learning and providing students with the skills and the wherewithal and the aptitudes and the knowledge to be able to go out into the world, or be in the world, maybe it's a better expression, and make a difference in some direction, which we hope is in a good direction, then we tend to sometimes, I feel that we tend to have a certain group of people in mind when we talk about these issues. So I'm wondering, the question is basically about privilege, and it becomes very apparent also at a place like Schumacher College, where there's people from all over the world coming there, but they're obviously, most of them are from a certain income bracket, let's say, from their respective countries. And this became quite clear to me. I think one thing that we did during the week was to, as part of this project and understanding Schumacher College, we invited a lot of different actors in the region on the Darlington Hall Estate that were working in different ways with ecological farming, with forestry, with sort of trying, actually, so some way you could call them ecopreneurs. And on the Thursday we had a big open meeting where we sort of engaged with this group, and then we were thinking about sort of, well, what's the future of this region, and how can we think about regional development in more creative and maybe more ecological ways than often happens. And one of the projects that was there was this project that we visited the day before, which was called Landworks, which you know works with convicts or prisoners or recently released prisoners and engaging them in sort of gardening and working with their hands in the countryside as a sort of a transition to leaving prison. And one of the people who was a part of this project actually attended the meeting that we had, and I was thinking about this when people were presenting themselves and their perspectives on entrepreneurship or ecological entrepreneurship, that you know that those perceptions and ideas and the things we think about and things we want to do are so shaped by our cultural and our economic background, social economic background. And when somebody is there, that for me at least, it was very clear that has maybe quite a different life.
Yeah, entry point
into this than us, it becomes sort of, it was really helpful for me to make sure that we don't sort of just think about this very, very particular set of people when we talk about it, educating ecopreneurs. So I think that's something that that's something to think about for us also. And this is, of course, I mean, you work within the environment that you're within, it's the same with us at the university, where there's it's a similar sort of, I think, group of people, but just something that I reflected on. And also a place like Schumacher is such an amazing place in many ways, and I really, really value it, but at the same time it seems like it is a privileged, very privileged place.
I'm trying to think of maybe reflecting a little bit more about the actual project.
Yeah, let's leave that difficult question. we'll leave it hanging.
Leave those unanswered questions. Unanswered questions are important, but let's write those down so we can continue working with this.
Yeah.
So the project itself continues for 2 years, right?
Yeah, 2 years.
So the next meeting is going to be in Copenhagen in September, and then at Uppsala?
In January.
So I think the idea for this first meeting was that we kind of get to know each other, also talk about what do we mean, start this exploration of what do we mean by ecological entrepreneurship, ecopreneurship, share our context a little bit, context of where we're coming from institutionally and personally a little bit. We're also trying to start thinking about what each of our institutions can contribute. I really liked Jodun's comment after we spoke. She was like, I think you might want to select what you can contribute.
That was after I spoke, yeah.
She was like, calm down, guys. But I think there was a lot of synergies with what we're usually doing at Siemens and what we're thinking at Siemens. I think it was, there's a lot we can actually contribute. Maybe specifically in thinking about courses, concrete modules or courses, how can you actually... So one of it was we started thinking about what kind of methods can we share to each other. So I talked a bit about future thinking, but also how the project course and the climate change leadership and practice course is working with hands-on projects and how to support that during the course. And for example, the SJH, the
Sogne Jord Hagebruksskola.
Exactly, on the west coast. Yeah, west coast of Norway. They're vocational, right?
Yeah.
So they're a little bit more different context as well. The sharing a bit of the methods, and I think we'll continue on that exploration. So we have some homework to do, writing about our lived experience of how we experienced ecopreneurship. And then we're going to have a Socratic dialogue about that in Copenhagen to distill what are the essences in there, I guess. I'm trying to think of concrete things we actually talked about during the meeting.
My comment earlier about privilege and these sort of things. I mean, in some ways, it's a group that is, that is homogenous in that sense. But it's, having said that, it's also a very diverse group.
Mm-hmm.
So looking at the educational institutions, such as you were saying, I mean, it's everything from universities to NGOs to vocational training. I mean, the college in Norway is in southwestern Norway. is a, I should have said that before, it's an agricultural college, and it's the first college that sort of introduced sort of ecological and biodynamic farming practices into its sort of curriculum. So, yeah, so it's a broad spectrum of,
And maybe to say just a bit more about the Copenhagen partners. So they were representing Friends of the Earth. They had a strong background in eco-villages. So they were trying to bring in that as like a, I don't know if you want to say laboratory or something like this, laboratory of practice. And then one of them, Jakob, also works as a teacher for Folk High School, so it is really interesting, different educational context. So the people from the Nord University, Ecological Economics, they have a bit more philosophy background, and they are situated in the business school as well. So we were all that was something also we were talking about a lot, how we're talking about students working with their projects and then working with the outer world. But another thing we were talking about was like our own organizations working with the outer world, which is sometimes quite challenging, like CMS in Uppsala University or Schumacher College in the Startington Estate.
Hall Estate.
And then Nord University, their ecological economics section, and then the business school. So all these tensions, and that was interesting to think about, because it's not a trivial thing. It's a very common thing when you're working with sustainability. How do you work with someone that's not in your bubble, basically?
I thought it was also interesting to when we read the project, application or what we promised to do, it's actually quite, it's not a lot. So we have a large degree of freedom to shape the project in a way that we want to. So we've basically said that we would exchange practices during these years and then also write an article, publish a peer-reviewed article. So that's sort of the framing of the outputs. But I think, like many times, I think, you know, having that sort of freedom could also lead to, it could lead to less things happening, but it could also lead to more things happening, that sort of, there's outputs of the project that we can't foresee at the moment that might come out of this. And I have a feeling that, you know, with the people that are representing the various institutions, that it's, in the beginning it seemed, you know, it was a bit hard to see how the group is going to, which way it's going to go, but it felt like also the process at Schumacher College and sort of the interaction we had with all the bigger set of actors in that region also made how I think the group sort of become more formed. So I'm very much looking forward to the coming meetings and also how to sort of we'll see where this might lead.
As someone said during the wrap up of the meeting. So how many were we in total? We were like 10, 12?
In the project, 10, 12 people.
12 people. Helped with the setting of the Schumacher, it was a very soft landing into meeting these new people. I think it was not such a stressful, like, oh, we're meeting new people, I need to get to know each other, but it was kind of a soft landing into it, which I think was really nice. And also the way it was structured. Maybe we can say that Jorun from SJH in Western Norway, she's a storyteller, so we started out with a poem. We also ended with a story as well. It's nice because we're talking also about what kind of stories do we want to tell in sustainability or in this kind of working with these issues. So it sets a different tone than like a conference or seminar that doesn't do these kind of personal touches. And,
I think also one of the things we discussed was because it's sort of hard, it's this kind of, what we're talking about now seems a bit hard to capture in words in some ways, and then at the same time that's sort of representative of a lot of the conversations we had there that were about these things that in some ways they're sort of qualities that one might really have a lot of value of acquiring as sort of an ecopreneur than when you're working with these issues. There is a sort of subtle, almost ephemeral skills. Of understanding complex systems and engaging with them, or maybe as Donella Meadows would have said, dancing with the systems in some ways. So it's that sort of side of things. But then there's other side of things that, was termed practical skills by somebody in the project or in the group when we were discussing this. But, you know, how do you write a business plan? How do you get funding? How do you sort of, how do you make something actually work concretely, that these sort of, you know, if you go too far in one direction, it's a problem. I'm noticing that you're paying more attention to the view
the
than
scenery.
What I'm saying.
Now. Now we're just crossing some water and I need to take pictures, sorry.
Yeah, it's actually very beautiful.
It's really beautiful, but my photos are not doing justice, so I can refocus again.
So maybe we should, I don't know how long we've been speaking for, but I think maybe we should try. Do you have any more questions that you think would be interesting to? I think maybe about the future of the, I mean, now we sort of laid out what's going to happen, so.
What would be a nice finishing kind of. Maybe I can say what I'm planning to take concretely to see this. Which I've already told you more like 3 times already. So I'm planning to bring back these morning meetings, maybe as a place of gathering, maybe once a week or something, Monday morning maybe, to try to replicate a little bit, bring back something concretely from Schumacher to Siemens, to open up a week and see what other people are doing, and also just have the space of breathing, because I think that was maybe something that I really, really took away from this week, is basically space to breathe is really important. And when you're planning like workshops or you're also your work days, you tend to cram in so much. And you always have meetings back to back, or you have a lot to do, or you have in your workshop activities back to back, etc. But I think maybe these spaces where you can actually breathe is productive. And also, it doesn't even have to be productive. I think this idea of valuing your life, kind of living space, and I think even at Siemens, where we're trying to do things differently, we tend to forget that maybe. So that was something that I'm reflecting about myself, like how do you actually do things differently at a daily level as well. That was something. Is there anything else you want to share into this podcast?
I wish I could transfer the picture of this microphone hanging by some floss into the podcast, but I don't think I can. It's great. It's a very nice conversation. No, I think, I mean, it's I have nothing really to add. I think you'll see what I bring back. You'll see.
I think maybe what we talked about was quite actually, in a sense, vague and abstract. We can also share more concretely of more examples about maybe these ecopreneurs that we met.
That was really interesting. I mean, it was
maybe
I can end with that. What to say? I think so. On one day, the same day I told you about earlier, when we gathered several people from the surrounding area that were working with different projects, the local farmer and so forth. We started off that day with having a former student come in, Alex, who is now running his own business, trying to bring people into the forest, basically, but then also work with. It's called the Woodland. I don't have time to talk about that because now there's another voice here. Artistic pause.
Nach einem kurzen Aufenthalt fährt der Zug an Bord der Fähre. An Bord finden Sie Restaurant, Cafeteria und Geschäfte. Die Überfahrt nach Olby dauert also 45 Minuten. Wir machen Sie darauf aufmerksam, dass während der Überfahrt ein Aufenthalt im Zuge und auf dem Eisenbahn- und Autodeck nicht gestattet ist. Wenn der Zug auf der Fähre steht, bitte verlassen Sie den Zug und suchen die oberen Decks auf. Der Zug ist während der Überfahrt verschlossen. 5 Minuten vor Ankunft in Olby können Sie wieder in den Zug einsteigen. Wir wünschen Ihnen eine angenehme Überfahrt. Tipp hier von Kleiner Augenblick und F der Körper von Kirchhoff und Wopperfern. an Bord für das Restaurant. Cafeteria ist auf der Landinge. Overfast Hilton, Tirol, Bier, circa 45 Minuten. Big on Mexico, und auf heute Tod. Und für Tore, Bier, Denken und Auerfahrten, Ege Tillen. Ist Tod Holland, Stille Befehlung, so wenn die Verlehrer Tod und Kost für die Överste Denken. Tod, wir auch Lust, und Auerfahrten. 5 Minuten fahren, Kost, Tirol, wir können nicht auch mal zu beiden Tod. Wir haben es gerade mit dem Heli Auerfahrten. We're now approaching Puttgarden, German border and ferry station. After a short stop, the train will move on board the ferry. On board the ferry, you will find a restaurant, cafeteria, and shops. Crossing to Denmark takes about 45 minutes. Please note it's not allowed to stay in the train and on the conveyor deck during the crossing. But the train is on the ferry. Please leave the train and go to the upper decks. The train will be locked during the crossing. 5 minutes before arrival in Denmark, you can enter the train again and take your seats again. We wish you a pleasant crossing.
I think that's a good way to end. I'll tell you about Alex another time, because we need to leave the train and enter the ferry. So thank you for listening, and we look forward to seeing you soon.
All right. Bye-bye.